Welcome on into the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Just got done with game number one for the Jazz versus the Mavericks. Jazz come out on top, and we'll give you the details in this episode. So, in this game, as I talked about in the last episode, Luka Doncic was dealing with a calf strain from the last game in the regular season. He was not able to play tonight, or, well, I guess today, the game started at 11. The thing is, though, this Mavericks team, when Luka doesn't play, they are an amazing defensive team. They are 92nd percentile of the entire league. Now, when he plays, of course, they're a much better offensive team, but they really struggle on the defense. So I really think they're about even when Luka plays versus when he doesn't. They're probably a little bit better when he does play just because he's absolutely amazing. But this was a defensive battle. At halftime, I think the score was, like 43 to 42, somewhere around there. And the game ended, I believe both teams were under 100. Maybe the Jazz just barely got over, but anyway, very low scoring game. In the first half, Bojan Bogdanović was the big guy for the Jazz, ended up putting up 20 points, and he kind of had to because Donovan Mitchell could not hit a shot. He was 1-for-9 in the first half. Mike Conley wasn't hitting. Mike Conley wasn't hitting really for the entire game. He hit some key shots down the stretch, but for the most part, he had an off game as well. And then Rudy Gobert, they just did not give him the ball. He got up a lot of free throw shots, and so he ended up having a decent game scoring-wise, but he only got one field goal attempt the entire game. So I'm really hoping that in this next one, they really try and force him the ball, because there was opportunities, and he can score on guys like Bertans and Dwight Powell from the Mavericks. In that first half, Jalen Brunson, especially in the first quarter, was just on fire. He's a very tricky guard to go up against because he's not very big. He's about the same size as Mike Conley is, but he's very shifty. He's a lot like a young Mike Conley, just shifty, quick, very crafty. Has enough athleticism to disrupt things, and like I said, he's just so smart that even when you think he's trapped, he finds a way out of it and is able to get off a decent shot. So he was great in the first quarter and the first half in total. Spencer Dinwiddie was okay in the first half. He really struggled from the free throw line throughout the entire game. And then Davis Bertans was kind of the big weapon that the Mavericks used, especially in that first half and through most of the third quarter. Which Davis Bertans, he's basically just a 6'10 version of Kyle Korver, where he's going to be pretty awful on the defensive end. Like, he has size, but that's about it. And anytime he was in the game, the Jazz were basically trying to get him on a ball handler, whether it was Bogey, Jordan Clarkson, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and go right at Bertans. And that, especially in the second half, that's really how they got a big lead going into the third. In the third quarter, like I said before, Donovan had really been struggling throughout the game. He was 1-for-9. He started pushing the issue in the third quarter. He still wasn't hitting at a super high efficient rate, but he was just driving to the lane so hard that he ended up with a dunk. He ended up trying to throw it down on Kleba and ended up having to just drop it in. Hit a couple threes. One was a, bank shot from the wing. And he still ended up, I think he still ended up with a 30-point game, even after struggling, and I think he only had 2 points. It was either 2 or 5 going into the half, but he was able to pick it back up. The Jazz's defense at the rim was amazing in this game. Their defense in total was pretty good. They had a few things fall apart around, at the 3-point line. But Rudy Gobert and and Hassan Whiteside, when he was in, they absolutely dominated the rim. There was nothing that the Mavericks could really do there. Dwight Powell got like a lob, and that was about it. Kleba couldn't do anything at the rim. The guards really couldn't do much at the rim. this was a dominant defensive performance by the Jazz, and really they really struggled on the offensive end and still were able to come out with the win in this game. So in the fourth quarter, as I've been talking about in the last few episodes, the Jazz have really been struggling in fourth quarters lately. They'll get a big lead and then they give it up. And it started to look like maybe that was going to happen against this Mavericks team. The game came within 2 points. They were winning by 12 at one point, and it came within two. The Jazz just kept fighting. Their defense stayed on point, and they were able to just keep fighting, get enough shots to go in that they were able to win this game. The big thing with this Jazz team, though, and this is something that's been plaguing them throughout the whole year, and this is the reason they keep losing in the fourth quarter, is for whatever reason, they run their offense throughout the entire game. Things go great. They're moving the ball. They're getting open shots. If they're not going in, they're still getting open shots. They're giving themselves good opportunities. And then, for whatever reason, they get into the fourth quarter, they get into crunch time, and they decide that it needs to be Donovan one-on-one. And they do that for a couple possessions and they go nowhere with it. And then it needs to be Bogey one-on-one, and he's pretty decent in isolation, but it's not nearly as efficient as when they just run the offense and they find him for an open three. I'm really hoping that the Jazz are starting to finally see that this is the issue and actually run the offense, but I don't know. It's been the issue all year long, and they haven't done anything about it yet. But the Jazz were able to pull out a game. So they'll play one more in Dallas. I think it's on Monday, and then they'll have 3 days off. So they won't play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They play Friday in Salt Lake. But the fact that they already got one game in Dallas is huge. If they can somehow find a way to win game two, now all of a sudden you're going back to Utah for two games. You have home court advantage now, and the Mavericks would have to find a way to win four of the next five games. Not saying that's impossible. That's what the Clippers did to the Jazz last year, but it's not nearly as probable as the Jazz being able to close out in that amount of games. So a little bit shorter one today. Just wanted to talk about this game. As far as game two goes, from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like Luka's going to play. But of course, nothing's going to come down as official until it absolutely has to from the Mavericks. But now that they're down 0-1, they might force him onto the court. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. If that calf is still not good to go, now you're really risking, well, of course, re-aggravating the calf, but you're really risking that Achilles. If he messes up his Achilles, it's game over for the year and probably for the next year too. So you really need to be careful with him, with how they bring him along. But they may feel that they're in a desperate situation. They have to play him in game two. So that's something to look forward to. I'll probably do an episode right after game two to talk about how that game went as well. But thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz!